Well, we come this evening to question 53 in the Shorter Catechism and question 54. Which is the third commandment? The third commandment is, Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. And then 54, what is required in the third commandment? The third commandment requireth the holy and reverent use of God's names, titles, attributes, ordinances, word and works. Which is the third commandment? The third commandment is, Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. You're to meet somebody. You would not presume to tell them their name, would you? You wouldn't give them a new name. Rather, when you meet someone, you inquire what their name is. You wouldn't presume to give someone a name because that's not your place. You don't have that right. The privilege of naming, it relates to dominion and to authority. And it is very limited. We see in the beginning that God created man and named him. And then we see that God brought Adam his wife. And Adam recognized her and delighted in her, and he named her. And then the Lord gave them children. And it was she who named her sons. And your name was given to you by your parents. And that is true for everyone, really, isn't it? That it's their parents who've had that right, who had authority and dominion and were able to give a name. And the choosing of that name was probably the result of discussions. Discussions that took place before your birth, and discussions that maybe took place after your birth. Prior to your birth, there was maybe speculation what your name would be, were it to be a boy or were it to be a girl. And then after your birth, there was maybe still ongoing, will it be this name or will it be that name? And you were given a particular name. But your name is incidental to your being. It's incidental to your character. You were given a name, but it could have been just as easily a different name. If you were named after one grandfather, it could have been another grandfather. If you're named after one aunt, it could have just as easily been another aunt. Your surname is different. Your surname is not debated, is it? Your surname is just a matter of fact. That's who you are. That speaks about the family that you belong within. But even then, your surname's not so absolutely fixed. When a lady gets married, generally her surname changes. But not always. I was hearing about the minister, the Reverend Alexander Moody Stuart, who was well known in the 1800s, in the early days of the Free Church. And his surname had been Alexander Moody. But when he married, he adopted the Stuart from his wife. That was her surname. And so he became Alexander Moody Stuart. So his surname was not so absolutely fixed either. But God's name belongs to God. God's name is not incidental. God's name could not be something else. God's name is a necessary name because it is a revelation of who he is. It's essential. It is settled. I remember working in a homeless shelter, and I was in Gorgie Parish Church, and they were trying to settle down the people who'd come in for the night. And there was a man who was sitting at the table, still drinking a cup of tea, and he was in great distress. And he took his jacket, which had his name emblazoned across the back of it, and he threw his jacket away. He says, "I don't want that. I don't want to be that anymore. I'm not going to be called that anymore." See, he was wanting a new identity. He was wanting to break free from the confines of that name, which had so much baggage and negative baggage. But God's name is synonymous with who God is. It's not a name that is given, but rather it is a name which is revealed. It's not because the church has agreed and has given certain names to the Lord and that's what we call him, but rather the Lord has revealed himself by speaking his name. And if the Lord had not spoken his name, if he had not given us his name, we would not know him. We could not know him. The reason we read in Isaiah chapter 9 is because of the words of verse 6 in particular, where it says, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." What it says, his name shall be this, because this is who he is. He is Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You know, there are many names which are precious to us by association. Names which are passed down through families from generation to generation, and it's the association of that, and of all the previous individuals who have borne that name, which make it so precious. But God's name is precious. It is excellent because it is intrinsically his. So we have the words in Proverbs 18:10. "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe." The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. There's wonderful pictorial language there, isn't it? Why is it that the name of the Lord that is our strong tower? It's because the name of God, the name of the Lord, in the revelation of who he is and the realization of who he is and the discovery of who he is, we have safety and refuge and shelter. This is the same truth as Psalm 46. God is our refuge and our strength, in straits a present aid. So that's why we cry in the words of the Lord's Prayer, "Hallowed be thy name." The name of God is holy because God is holy. And the name of God reveals the holiness of God. You must never think that the name or the names which are used for God limit or restrict him. Rather, these different names which we are able to use, they reveal different aspects. God in his infinite majesty is incomprehensible. No one can take in all that is God. But while God is incomprehensible, he is knowable. And we know him because he reveals himself by making his name known. When God gives us his name, he's giving us permission to approach him. The name of God gives access to God. Isn't that wonderful? Which is the third commandment? The third commandment is, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Do you see the significance of the name of God? You can't distinguish and separate the name from God himself. Now the Jews won't speak the name of God. They speak of the tetragrammaton, the four-letter name. And in Hebrew, the name of God is given in four letters, pronounced as we would try to pronounce it, Yahweh or Jehovah. There's different views as to the correct way to pronounce, but these are two attempts to pronounce this ancient Hebrew name, which the Jews themselves will not pronounce. Rather, they substitute it with Hashem, which means the name. Because the name is so holy that they refuse to take that name upon their lips, lest somehow they speak it in vain. But friends, we are able to speak the name of God. Oh, with carefully, with reverence and with respect. We are to speak the name of God, understanding the significance of his name. I'm sure you've seen images over these recent days of the coffin, which the earth remains of our queen, are borne and carried by soldiers, different stages of this long journey that's been made from Balmoral to Edinburgh and then to London, through London to its final resting place. And one of the things that struck me as I saw images of it yesterday was a look of intense concentration upon the face of the soldiers who were bearing this coffin. If I remember correctly, there was 8 men, strong men. It wasn't the weight that caused them to concentrate so significantly. They could bear the weight of it with ease. 8 strong men. But there was a weight in that coffin. It was the significance of it. The concentration at what they were holding. And friends, when we speak the name of God, we declare him. When it says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, that to take means you shall not lift up the name of God in vain. You shall not express him, you shall not reveal him in vain. Remember, we looked at the second commandment. The second commandment. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. God does not reveal himself through graven images, but he reveals himself through his name. It's interesting, the words of question 54, aren't they? What is required in the third commandment? The third commandment requireth the holy and reverent use of God's names, titles, attributes, ordinances, word and works. It requires us to speak God's name. We are to use it. We are to make it known. We are to lift it up. We are to reveal him. Not in vain. Not for mockery. Not as a matter of insignificance. But realizing the weight. That's why we have the exhortation of Psalm 29. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. In vain, we speak about blasphemy. To speak badly. To use that precious name as a curse. In our society, it almost seems that the name of God is considered to be a mild substitute for a foul word. Our society has no idea of the horror, of the stench that goes up before God as his name is so miscalled. It reveals contempt, it reveals disdain, and yet it also reveals the thoughtless habit of godless people who have just learned to unthinkingly speak the name of the mighty Lord. I shall not take the name of thy Lord, the Lord thy God, in vain. That means not to speak blasphemy, not to use his word as a substitute for some foul word. It also means not to use his name, not just his name, but his titles and his attributes and his ordinances and his word and his works, thought carelessly, as though they were empty, insignificant and irrelevant, not worthy of thought, not worthy of care, as though he were not, as though he were nothing. What is required in the third commandment? The third commandment requireth the holy and reverent use of God's names, titles, attributes, ordinances, word and works. That means you're not to speak lightly of anything by which God makes himself known. We're not to speak lightly of God or of the things of God. Let's briefly go through this list. The third commandment requireth the holy and reverent use of God's names, titles, attributes, ordinances, word and works. His names. We read in Isaiah 9. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The name of God, the Lord, the great I Am, a precious name, Jesus, the Saviour. There are many names which are given to God. And as we read them in the scriptures, we are to speak them with a sense of awe and reverence and the significance of what we do. And his titles, Lord, Master, King, Saviour, Father, Son, the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, the Lord of hosts. And his attributes. If you think of the attributes of God, we can think back to an early catechism. God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. The attributes of God. We're not to speak lightly about him, whether we use his name or whether we're describing who he is or what he does. His ordinances, prayer and preaching and his sacraments, his word, the holy word of a holy God, and his works, the works of creation, the works of providence, the works of redemption. Humour is a wonderful gift. It's a precious gift to be enjoyed. But we're never to laugh at the things of God or laugh with the things of God. The third commandment is, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord, we're not told him guiltless, that taketh his name in vain. And what is required in the third commandment? The third commandment requireth the holy and reverent use of God's names, titles, attributes, ordinances, word and works. The first commandment, I shall have no other gods before me, tells us the object of our worship. The second commandment tells us the manner of our worship, not to make any graven image. We're to worship as he has revealed. And the third commandment speaks about our attitude. Reverence and humility and the fear of God. Ecclesiastes 5 verse 1. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. They shall not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. There are ways in which God's name is taken in vain and it's apparent to all. But there are also ways in which his name may be taken in vain that no one else can detect. When it's not spoken with sincerity, it's not spoken with reverence, it's not spoken with love. But the Lord knows, and the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Amen.